This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 258 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, December 28th, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, this is the final show of WordPress Weekly for 2016.
That's right. We've run out of weeks.
Yeah, at least in this year. And on Wednesdays.
Yeah, so we've got a great show today. We're going to go over some, just some of the trends and some of the things that we've discussed over the course of 2016 and kind of reflect back on what's happened. And then maybe by the end, we'll make some predictions as to what we think will happen in 2017.
Well, we'll save the predictions for part two of the show. I mean, there's so much to cover. So we're going to do the traditional two-part series. So we'll cover January through June today. And then the rest of the year afterwards, plus our predictions on part two of the show. That's how we'll open up the new year. And just a little stat for you, Marcus, including this episode that we're doing right now, out of 52 weeks in the year, we recorded 38 shows, which I know there's been a couple of times where due to some traveling or some situations, haven't been able to do a show or I've been sick. I thought 38 was pretty good, but you had some choice words for me on Twitter.
I think it's pathetic. I think we should have gotten at least in the 40s. Come on.
Yeah, well, what can I say? However, the shows that we did do were pretty awesome, if I must say so myself. In fact, some of those are highlighted in our year in review. So let's get started because we have a lot of things to sort of reminisce on. And we'll start off with the month of January. And the month of January started off a bit shaky for Linode and WP Engine as there was a data breach both at WP Engine and at Linode. And Linode is one of those like cloud infrastructure providers. And apparently some credentials for Linode.com were discovered to have been breached, which gave them access to, I think, a database where people could see users or customer data, things of that nature. Haven't really looked into it since then to see exactly what the issue was or point of entry, but I know throughout, let's see, a couple times throughout this year, and we might even mention it as we get through the months here, I know Linode has had its share of security-related issues as of late and both in the beginning of the year.
So yeah, I remember when this happened with WP Engine. Everybody had to change their passwords and all that, and it did become a little problematic for one client in particular that I have that uses WP Engine. WP Engine's kind of weird because it's one of the only hosts out there that does WordPress managed hosting that lets you do multi-site, which is a little strange, but it works nonetheless. So I'm really into WP Engine and what it is that they're doing, except for that fake news site that they've got. But the rest of it, I've been a very satisfied customer all year long with one client in particular. So I'm glad that they got that ironed out.
Yeah, and I do know that they've made some great strides in ramping up the security of their products and services. In fact, earlier this year, they added two-factor authentication to the user portal so customers could enable two-factor authentication in order to log into the WP Engine backend. So that was a great step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So speaking of security, WordPress 4.4.1 was released early in the month of January to fix a cross-site scripting security vulnerability. And the new Upvital service was launched, which enabled free backups for Envato market products. And, you know, every time we go through these headlines, I think back to how our discussions about these services on the show. And I think back at the time, you were kind of saying, well, what's in it? You know, this that no, we were talking about a couple of different things here, and this was launched by Ludekvim.
Mm-hmm.
That's his name, and he was talking about how monetization wasn't a priority, and that storage space was cheap, and things of that nature. So, in Vital Authors, if you had a theme or a product and you wanted to have it backed up, you could use up Vital, which is pretty much a cloud storage solution. And as we'll get to later in the year in review, things didn't work out quite so well for Vital.
Wasn't this a common theme last year when we did this show? It was like we named off all these new startup ventures, and they all, or most of them, ultimately failed. And there's, I think, a lesson in that. If you're a developer or a startup and you think that you've got a product that can make it into the WordPress space, start listening to WordPress Weekly's year-end in review, and maybe that'll give you some encouragement or discouragement as to whether you should get that done. Because I've threatened it before, but we may have a company Deadpool coming up. Who knows? But yeah,
in fact, there are so many. You mentioned an idea, and I think I actually wrote a post based on our show, where I actually wrote, like, I think it was like 10 ideas or the 10 WordPress things that mm-hmm. started and didn't make it out of the year or something. I don't know. I'd have to remember. But yeah, that was something else last year. I mean, that doesn't say that, hey, if you have an idea, you shouldn't try it and see what happens. But yeah, quite a few of them don't really get past the 1 year mark or even a couple month mark.
Right. Right.
So our Drupal, another open source framework type CMS project, turned 15 years old earlier in the year. So it's older than WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
Probably gets into a little bit more trouble because it's older. I don't know. Who knows? You know, now that WordPress is a rowdy teenager, they'll compete maybe on that level now. But good to see. It was good to see Drupal turned 15 years old. I mean, when it comes to open source, it takes a lot of human power input to maintain an open source project, to maintain level of contributions and things of that nature. So, I mean, to be around for 15 years is a hell of an accomplishment. And it's kind of cool to see that both, I should say all three, Joomla, WordPress, and Drupal, are all thriving. They're all pretty healthy open source projects. So congrats to all of their communities and all of the people that are helping leading the way to maintain that type of energy level.
And Drupal's not bad. I used Drupal this year for a client migration, and I was actually quite impressed with all of the features that it has now.
Was it Drupal 7 that you tried?
I believe so, yes.
Drupal 7 is the new one, and it looks pretty nice from everything I've seen.
Yeah, it's not for me, not as a full-time basis, just mm-hmm. because I'm so used to WordPress in my toolbox. But Drupal doesn't suck. It's not anything that you need to make fun of or anything like that. It's not Joomla. Joomla's the ugly, you know, redheaded stepchild amongst all the CMSs. But Drupal is definitely holding its own for the market share that it has.
And GlotPress used to be a sort of its own. It was based on Backpress. In fact, the one interview we had with Triple J, he really gives you some background information about GlotPress and how it started. But earlier this year, it was turned. The Backpress stuff was removed, and GlotPress was turned into its own plugin, which makes translations and maintaining the project a heck of a lot easier. It also makes it a lot easier for people to contribute to it. And version 1.0 included WP CLI support, integrated with WordPress's user system, and multi-site support. So that was a pretty cool change there. Mm-hmm. And during that month of January, we did WordPress Weekly episode 223, which was called Celebrating 8 Years of iThemes with Corey Miller. And I bring this up because there are certain episodes of WordPress Weekly that we record that I do that kind of leave a lasting impact on me that are really fun to do. I just really enjoyed the conversation, and that was one of those shows where I sort of brought Corey on, and we talked about the history of iThemes, and we reminisced and talked a lot about what it was like sort of coming up through the ranks of WordPress together, but from a totally different perspective, him launching a company and me launching a sort of media publication about WordPress. So it was one of my favorite shows of this year.
Yes, and it was very interesting to learn how iThemes actually made the pivot from being a theme yes. company to a plugin company, and that happened right after they launched Backup Buddy, and they kind of stumbled upon something that really turned the corner for iThemes and really made them what they are today. So that was a really good episode. I can't believe it's almost a year since that episode happened, but it was a really good one. I remember it.
So that rounds out the month of January. Moving into February, we learned that Bluehost open sourced their script, which was used to update 2.5 million WordPress sites. If you can believe that and know the world did not burn after that script was run, according to Mike Hansen, who's a Bluehost representative, really cool guy. I met him at WordCamp US. He's a very smart dude. He says that the script took about a month to run through all of the outdated sites, and they successfully updated 2.5 million customer sites. And they were actually able to get a lot of very old versions of WordPress up to, at the time, WordPress 4.3, which, according to Hansen, really decreased their amount of support tickets they had and the amount of sites that were being hacked or mm-hmm. compromised due to old versions of WordPress. So it was really cool for them. I know Matt Mulloway talked about this during the State of the Word 2015, and Bluehost went ahead and released the script on GitHub, open sourced, and it's still there. In fact, I was checking up on it, and the latest pull request or version release was a couple of days ago. So somebody is still over there maintaining it, and it's still there for other hosts to use if you want. But I tell you, this was a 2.6 million core updates. And they didn't just do updates. I mean, they thought about doing them separately, but they actually did core themes and plugins all together. And only about, I think it's fewer than 0.007% of customers reported issues. So that was, I tell you, that's a hell of a success story and really shows you. I mean, hey, WordPress updates are supposed to be super reliable, and 99% of the time they are. It's just that 1%. When you fall into that 1% category, man, the update system, you know, when you get burned right. by it, it sucks.
Yeah, and it's very important for hosts to undergo this update process, because there may be old stage sites out there, or just sites that people let go, or somebody did a client site for somebody and the client logs into their site.
We were just talking something about like that with Tony Perez, you know, mm-hmm. how these hosts now, they make it so easy to create all these staging sites that you create one, you create another, And then, you know, at some point, you know, one or more of those gets compromised, and within that same sector could end up affecting your live site.
Right. Yeah, so it's very important to do that upgrade, and by doing so, they probably eliminated, if they updated 2.5 million WordPress sites, think of all the vulnerabilities and potentials of hacks and things like that that they eliminated by updating all those sites.
Mm-hmm. So Elegant Themes, a pretty established theme company, they actually had a information disclosure vulnerability discovered in the Divi builder, which was included in their Divi and extra themes as well as their plugin. And apparently this the security vulnerability resulted in the potential for user privilege escalation. So if properly exploited, it could allow registered users, regardless of their role, on a WordPress installation to perform a subset of actions within the Divi builder, including the ability to manipulate posts. So that's bad news. So what they ended up doing was pushing out an update to fix their plugins, their themes. And at that point, it says as of 2015, Elegant Themes had at least 300,000 customers. It's probably more than that now, but that was sort of a big issue for Elegant Themes company earlier this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So many people are using Divi and that Divi builder and all of that. I can't stand it, but a lot of people like it. And it's terrible when a theme gets compromised like that, because many people use it for clients, and sometimes you don't have that relationship with the client after you've created the site, and you've got to go back and go, oh, by the way, that thing that I built for you, yeah, it's compromised.
So we are no strangers to Happy Joe. In fact, we had James Dahlman on the show to talk about the Happy Joe organization. And 2016 mm-hmm. was a bit of a year of change for James and the foundation. And we learned that in February, Happy Joe was going to shut down as a nonprofit organization, and James is going to start running it for a for-profit venture. So after operating the organization for about 2 years as a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, he pulled in $80,000 in 2015 through corporate sponsorships and private donations, but in the beginning of the year, he didn't have any funds to carry him through. And instead of what he was running into, he was spending all of his time trying to raise money and raise funds instead of really focusing on the other aspects of the organization. And there was also some issues with other nonprofit foundations and the negative press they were experiencing with overspending and things of that nature. So Dahlman said that they were going to create a for-profit venture. And as we'll learn later in the show, there's other changes that came to Happy Joe as well. But a year of change for James.
Yeah, and just to give a little background for people about Happy Joe, it's meant to be a organization for veterans and returning veterans. And it's to show them the ways of WordPress and how to make a career out of it. And I think it's still a very viable project in what it is, because it seems like that would be kind of a perfect thing, especially for any disabled veterans that came back. And it's a worthwhile cause all around. So I've always been very supportive of Happy Joe from day one.
And also in the month of February, we learned that the WordPress plugin directory is going to get yet another makeover. And well, that was back in February, and throughout the year, there have been different design iterations and things of that nature. But the directory right now is still in beta form, and you can check it out. If you go to WordPress.org and visit the plugins tab, there's a link on there where you can check out the new plugins directory if you want to check that out. But we learned that it was going to be redesigned back in February, so I wanted to kind of give you a timeline there of when we found out about it and how things are going this day.
And so some of the new changes that I've seen in the new beta version of the plugin repository is it moves everything into one screen so that you can see the ratings, you can see all about the plugin in terms of the description, you can take a look at the screenshots, everything there is in one screen, and that's okay. I mean, it gives you a nice overview of everything right there. I think that there could be a lot more component improvements for it. I'd like to see maybe some more social integration. I've only been talking about this for a couple of years, but I'd like to see, you know, somebody that it's really active that favorites a lot of plugins, or maybe you want to take a look at somebody in the WordPress community and what their favorite plugins are, what their most installed plugins are. I think it's still got a long way to go, but it's still really nice in terms of what it does. And I know that the search functionality of the repo has greatly improved over time. So I look forward to actually seeing the conclusion of this design element change and seeing.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously they're going to iterate on it. They're going to make some improvements on it. I know when I was checking it out, like you said, I kind of had an issue with everything being on one screen where I had to use my scroll wheel and go up and down to be able to see things. I kind of like the old design better, where some of the more important stuff was right there on the right-hand side, where it didn't involve the scroll wheel, but we'll see how it all shakes out in the end.
Yeah. And understand too, that things are coming to more of a mobile design phase, to where a lot of people are using their mobile devices now to surf around and look at things. So I'm sure that they wanted to take advantage of a lot of those aspects.
And rounding out the month of February, Mandrill, a very popular service that a lot of developers use for handling emails, announced that they were going to, or they discontinued their free tier for transactional emails. So as of March 16th, Mandrill users ended up having to, if they wanted to continue using their email service, had to create accounts with MailChimp and use MailChimp, which was $20 a month. So instead of using the free tier for transactional emails, people ended up having to start paying $20 a month beginning April 27th. So I see a lot of people actually, well, the company actually recommended that people use Amazon SES, which is, you know, their core focus is increasing efficiency and reducing costs. And when we talk about transactional emails, we're talking about emails that are like notifications, new comments, something needs to be updated, things of that nature, things that don't necessarily need great design. You know, you're not trying to sell people on things.
Right.
That's where something like MailChimp really comes in handy.
Yeah, and that's just another lesson of once you have something on a third party, you don't know what's going to happen to it. So you have to be very what it is that you do. And how's one of those, you don't have your email self-hosted, because if you get too many spam comments, then even your own email won't work anymore from that domain. So you have to be very cautious in that.
Yep. So that wraps up February. On to March. And the first big story in March was that Poetica was acquired by Condé Nast, and the open source WordPress plugin built around it was discontinued. And Poetica, for those who don't know, was this cool, like, Google Docs style collaboration in the WordPress post editor. And this is the collaboration in the WordPress post editor, especially today, is a rarity. I don't know of really any. I mean, there's probably plugins out there that do it, but WordPress actually has built-in tools that I don't want to say frowns on, but it's not equipped for post collaboration, because when somebody is editing a post, it locks it. It prevents other people from accessing it and being able to make any edits. This is to prevent people, you know, words being overwritten or a post certain version of it being saved over another. But this plugin was really cool, and people could actually you could see different people, like their icons or avatars in the editor. You could see what they were editing. You could leave little marks or comments on things that needed to be edited. All of that stuff was really cool. So it ended up getting acquired by Condé Nast, wrapped into their whatever proprietary system they're using, and the plugin is now no more. So I don't know. We'll see. I'd like to see some really cool collaboration efforts in the WordPress. I mean, I think that's something, you know, in core. Maybe at some point they could review the post locking feature or something else. But yeah, Google Docs like collaboration is something I think would be really cool in the core of WordPress.
I think you're right. I'd like to see that.
So we learned that the WordPress plugin directory will no longer accept frameworks. That generated quite the discussion on WP Tavern. Mm-hmm. And BuddyPress 2.5 was released, which featured customizable emails and support for emoji. Yay! You know, the more things we can have that support emoji, the better. Also in this month, Joshua Strabo interviewed Alex King. He published this interview that it was aired at Pressnomics. And the interview that we learned was conducted 10 days before Alex King's death. And among, you know, there's many things that are published in the WordPress ecosystem throughout the year. And this interview, to me, is one of the best. It's one of the top things I really enjoyed covering and watching. And it's a video that if you watch it, it's about 38 minutes long, and it's very respectfully, tastefully done. and just hearing Alex's, you know, in the state that he was in, you know, pretty much on his deathbed from the cancer, and just being able to hear him talk about words to live by and all of his traits, and talking about building a team and how to make that successful was there's so much to learn from that video, in addition to all of the other circumstances that surrounded. And I know that when it was played at Pressonomics 4, there was a very long standing ovation, which I think was necessary or definitely warranted for the interview.
Yeah, Alex was a friend of mine too, and that video was a heartbreaker. And just even thinking about it it's something. But I hope that I get to go out that same way, you know, as far as being able to share my story down to the.
I want to be the one interviewing you.
Oh, thanks.
What? Come on, man. It's only at this point. That's the way it's going to have to go.
God forbid that's going to be years and years and years for now, you know,
right.
God willing. But that's a very, very poignant interview to watch. And not many people would actually do that. So Josh Strebel really put himself out there. He's literally interviewing a guy on his deathbed and learning as much as he can at that moment in time. And It took me a couple weeks before I went and watched it, just because I was kind of heartbroken over his death to begin with. But it's a great interview to go back and look at. Nice legacy, you know?
Indeed, indeed. So custom content type manager plugin, there was an update for it, but the update kind of created a security nightmare. So, you know, over the years, Marcus, you and I and even before this, I've told, you know, the most trustworthy place to get plugins to download them from and to get updates is from the WordPress plugin directory. Somebody ended up getting access, somebody by the name of Woo Ranker was added as a maintainer to the plugin. And as a maintainer, they were able to commit code to the repository. And some of this code included some PHP files that were used to hack their sites or put a foundation in place to use more sophisticated attacks using shells and things of that nature. And so we run into a situation where people are using this plugin. They see an update notification. They download it, and unbeknownst to them, they've just opened their site up. They just opened the door.
Right.
And like I said, you know, I felt bad for the people who fell victim to this type of thing. And, you know, it doesn't, the repo people, the gatekeepers were on top of this immediately once they discovered it and took care of it. But there was still a group of people out there, a group of users who became victims. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't take away from the trust I have or put into WordPress.org, the plugins and the code there and the gatekeepers. But what happened here is an example that could happen to pretty much any plugin on that directory. I mean, it's a possibility that this could happen. So, you know, the best defense for users out there is to A, have security scanning software that notifies you of changed files or allows you to keep track of changes like that, and to do routine backups. Just in case, 99% of the time, this isn't a vector of how your site's going to be compromised. But you know, there's that 1%.
Yeah. And it also brings forth that realization that, installing a plugin on your site is no different than having a person in your home full time. And, you know, you have to understand that you're ultimately responsible for the conduct of those plugins or that person or whatever analogy you want to use. And you have to have a certain degree of trust, and that trust can fade at any time. You've already seen or listened to Jeff and I just just talking about the first few months and already that there were some vulnerabilities this year with many different plugins and themes.
Yeah, we're just getting started.
All that. So if that's not a lesson to be cautious with your own site, I don't know what is.
Also in the month of March, Jetpack turned five years old. Woo! All right. It's growing up. And they switched to the new domain name they purchased. So instead of jetpack.me, which was the old domain, now you can visit jetpack.com. And there's a lot of cool stuff involved with Jetpack here. So that was neat. Mm-hmm. And let's see, what else do we have here? Also during this month, we had a great article on the Tavern. Drew James wrote about burnout. And I remember we had a great discussion about this. In fact, we really talked about it on the show about you know, how he was a full-time contributor to WordPress in an open source project. And he described, you know, what led to burnout and tips to try and avoid it. And, you know, that's the thing that you got to try and see before it happens is know you're about to cross that line to where you're going to be burned out before you're, because once you cross it, it's like, it's too late.
Right.
So, you know, there's a great discussion we had back in March around there. And then a huge win for a lot of people who are fans of accessibility. WordPress adapted accessibility coding standards for all new and updated code. And those guidelines were added to the core handbook. So that was a huge win. Also, this was a big story. Frederick Towns confirmed that W3 Total Cache was not abandoned. So at the time when I was writing the story, compiling it, I've seen countless forum threads of people asking, is the plugin dead? What's going on with Frederick Towns? No, I paid for services and have not received anything in return. So I got in touch with him, wrote this big post, and he responded back to me. Frederick Towns did, and pretty much said that there's some things that were being worked on and that the plugin is not dead. And kind of updated everybody as to the progress of this very popular plugin that's been around for a long time. And the odd thing about it is months afterwards, there was another absence of communication. So even though I wrote this post, a couple months later, people were wondering what's going on and scratching their heads again. And then there was a security issue involved with W3 Total Cache, which allowed Frederick Towns actually pushed out a big update, and we'll probably cover that in the in another show when we talk about get further into the year. But man, it was one hell of an update.
You ain't kidding. Absolutely, it was.
All right, so Marcus has gone into robot mode, and so I'm gonna let him reconnect here. And then talk about WordPress Weekly episode 227. This was the HeroPress story with Topher DeRosia. So we brought him on. Topher is the founder, sort of the head, is the one who had this pretty cool idea of HeroPress, which has turned out to be one of the gems in the WordPress community. And having Topher on and really learning about the story, the inspiration, the motivation behind creating the site, and the him going through the funding process, and then learning about some of the really, you know, the raw stories of some of the people he's encountered, and how it's involved with WordPress was really cool. And again, that our interview with Topher DeRosia is one of my highlights for WordPress Weekly this year.
Yeah, HeroPress is one of those really cool sides of WordPress. And I think everybody should take a few moments and look at some of the stories that are there. And it really helps to ground you in terms of, you know, where people come from, how they've made it in WordPress or not made it in WordPress, depending on what the story happens to be. But either way, every story that's there is definitely interesting.
And then wrapping up the month of March, Modern Tribe acquired GigPress. I know we talked about that on the show. Mm-hmm. And they were exploring software as a service events management solutions. So, and I think they've done a really great job with GigPress since they've acquired it too.
Yeah, Modern Tribe's a really good company. They do a lot of cool things. And I
made up of a lot of good people too. I know quite a few of them, met quite a few of them.
Yeah, I love their plugins. I use the Events Manager Pro and had nothing but success with it.
So starting off the month of April, I added this story in here so I can, admit that I have to eat crow or something. But BB Press 2.6, here's my post title. I said BB Press 2.6, expected later this year, two major features pushed back to 2.7. So Triple J, who is one of the lead developers of the BB Press project, published this post and explained that two of the major features in BB Press were going to be removed from the 2.6 timeline and pushed back for 2.7 so that 2.6 could be released. And as we near the end of 2016, BB Press 2.6 is nowhere to be found. So... So this is back in April, and I thought, well, yeah, 2.6, well, that ought to be out by the end of the year. Nope. It hasn't happened yet. So who knows what's going on with BB Press 2.6. Your guess is as good as mine. I know that there's been quite a few point releases, mostly for security releases to patch some things in BB Press. But maybe we'll see 2.6 next year. Hopefully. Jeez.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. In the meantime, you get all kinds of other forums and things out there that are now hooking into WordPress that are even a lot better than BB Press. So hopefully they'll get it together soon. I'd like to see a release come out pretty quickly. 2.7? Man, I'll be surprised if we're doing this show next year and 2.7 has hit the light. I don't think it's gonna.
Yeah. And the user role editor plugin, that was a pretty popular plugin. They ended up patching a critical security vulnerability. VersionPress, it's a pretty cool project, transitioned into a free open source project this year. So that was a major transition for them. And all of their work in the plugin is open, is GPL licensed or GPL compatible. So that's cool.
Right.
And one of the big time story is one of the articles we had in the tavern is that Sarah Gooding wrote this: outdated and vulnerable WordPress and Drupal versions may have contributed to the Panama Papers breach. So for those who may have forgotten, the Panama Papers, I think it was it was a company, it was offshore, I think in Panama, and they something to the effect of sort of like this, what would you say, Marcus? I think it was a company that does something similar to what a private domain registration would be, where it hides your details.
Right.
And the company was breached, and there was papers and communications sent out. And as people were looking into how this breach may have occurred, we discovered that on the various websites that they were running outdated WordPress and Drupal versions. And I haven't really heard... This was back in April, and I haven't heard or read anything about the source of the breach or the point of entry or what actually happened. So I don't know if it's still under investigation or what's going on.
Yeah, me neither, but that does prove our point from earlier in the show that upgrading your WordPress installation is pretty high up there in terms of priority.
I wonder what's going on. You're in robot mode again.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You'll have to disconnect and reconnect again. So, yeah, we're having a special appearance today by Roboto Markets Couch. And, you know, we do this show on Google Hangouts, and for the most part, it works fine. But Marcus has this issue where it goes into robot mode, and the only way to fix it is to disconnect and reconnect. So he's back with us now, and now his audio is fine. So I don't know if it's on his end, if it's a Google Hangout issue. But every now and then we get to hear from Mr. Roboto.
I'll blame you.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. So, WordPress 4.5 Coleman was released. One of the major versions released during the year of 2016. This introduced custom logos, responsive previews, and improved the editing experience. Also,
yes.
In this
named after the late Gary Coleman. Very nice of Matt to do that.
Okay. you know, you always have fun with these last names.
I do.
Yeah. So we also found out in April what was going on with EditFlow. It's a pretty popular plugin. It hadn't received updates for the longest time. I was experiencing issues. It drove me crazy on the Tavern. So I wrote this post, asking Automatic, who is the maintainer of the plugin, hey, what's going on? And this type of post actually generated a response, and maintainers at Automatic apologized for the lack of communication and pushed out an update that actually fixed one of the most annoying bugs I've had with EditFlow for a long time, where I would use the mobile app, and when I would edit a post with the mobile app with EditFlow enabled, it would disable comments on the post. So, that was really annoying, but that's fixed now. So I'm really happy about that.
And then, EditFlow is one of those plugins that you and I we both use, but you more so. It allows you to schedule posts. It's more for if you have multiple authors. If you're just one author, it's probably not going to do anything for you except maybe a to-do list or something like that. But what it lets you do is create drafts right from a calendar view. And so that gives you a clear perspective on what kind of posts you have coming up and when and all of that. So it's interesting, that whole plugin. And I'm really glad that they got it fixed, because I know you were fretting about it for a long time.
And Syed Balki, he acquired Google Analytics by Yoast, renamed it to Monster Insights. Mm-hmm. And I remember, the reaction to that was mixed. And when they pushed out a new version with the monster icons and some of the colors, the response was not very good. So they ended up pushing out a release to address some of the criticisms and concerns of users. And it actually turned out to be a pretty good release. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever wondering what happened to Google Analytics by Yoast, it's now Monster Insights, and it's owned by Syed Balki.
Yeah, and he is a friend of the show, and I'm actually going to see him in a couple weeks in Las Vegas. So
nice.
Looking forward to that. But yeah, that's I use that plugin, Monster Insights. It's really good. I really like the direction that they've taken that in, away from sort of the Yoast-y stuff. But like Yoast, they do implement some pop-ups and little advertising things within the WordPress dashboard. So that part is still the same. But it does have some great attributions for insights into how people visit your site, what happens on your site, where they come from, all of those things. So it's a really great plugin to put on your site.
And talk about this. How about this for a success story? In 2 years, Beaver Builder passes $1 million in revenue. So they've been in business for 2 years, and they're already at the seven-figure mark. And Beaver Builder is I'd say it's one of the most popular page builder plugins there are for WordPress. And, man, they are just that's a big number. $1 million seems pretty big to me.
Yes, and the surprising thing is it's not even the best page builder out there, but it's pretty good. But a lot of people, I don't know, I guess they like it just because of the simplicity that's involved in it. I tried it once. I haven't really had too much use for it other than that, but it's a nice plugin that a lot of people enjoy.
And another WordPress Weekly episode highlight for me this year was our interview with Mika Epstein, who gave us an inside look at the plugin review process and also gave us some background information as to the communications and some of the nasty things he has to deal with on a routine basis from some very upset developers who take offense to being told that they've done something wrong or that they need to correct something. And Marcus, I remember we had a, it was a great episode where we really learned the ins and outs of the process.
Yeah, and all of the things that happen within the submission process and how they actually go in and look at the code and they can tell if it's been ripped from something else. And Mika even shared a story where she reviewed a plugin that had code that was ripped from a plugin that she had made. Yet she still approved it.
Yeah. And to wrap up the end of April, WordPress released 4.5.1, which was a maintenance release. So it fixed 12 bugs. And that was it. That was the end of April.
Hmm.
Now we move into May. Yes. And May started off with Templatic. Templatic, I guess, is how you would say the company's name. They ended up getting compromised. In fact, files and databases containing customer usernames and passwords were compromised. Mm-hmm. And the data was actually being held for ransom money, if you can believe that. So I know B. Havesh was working. He's the founder of the company. I know he ended up working with local authorities. I'm not sure what the end result of this was, but yeah, held for ransom, you know, hackathon company, and that's one way to make money, I guess.
It must work because they keep trying it.
Indeed, indeed. Let's see. What else do we have here? Ninja Forms updated. They had a pretty severe security vulnerability that they addressed. In fact, boy, there's a lot of BBPress 2.5. BBPress released a security release. WordPress 4.5.2 was released. That was a security release. And at the end of the month was Jetpack. Jetpack released a security release. So there's a lot of big time security releases there. And another episode highlight, we did episode 234 in the month of May. This was our interview with Andrea Middleton, who gave us about everything we could ever want to know about the WordCamp process.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, and some of the things that they are moving away from have been implemented. So they used to do all the WordCamps based on kind of a nonprofit, and she talked about some of the caveats and problems with doing it in that manner, talked about how she works with the WordCamp organizers to secure space and food and money and all that stuff. And if you ever wanted to know how WordCamps work and function, that's definitely the episode to listen to.
Also in the month of May, this was a big release, but Automattic introduced something called WooCommerce Connect, which was the secret project Matt had hinted at during WooConf. And WooCommerce Connect is a hosted software as a service architecture that was created apparently to offer store features in a more user-friendly way. It's actually built on the WordPress REST API, has a Calypso-style type interface. And what it does is some of the things that you do in WooCommerce requires a lot of steps. And certain aspects of running a store, WooCommerce Connect will actually really simplify that process. Mm-hmm. So they're working on that with plans on, you know, at the time it was an alpha stage, but I know they're working on it with plans to maybe eventually get it rolled into WooCommerce Core, but that hasn't happened yet. They're still two separate products. But there you go, WooCommerce Connect. That's something we'll definitely have to keep an eye on in the future.
Yeah, I bet that comes out this year.
Yeah, sounds well, like it. That's a good prediction for 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, the other big news was that the WordPress.org recommended hosting page was revamped. So in the first time in a long time, and for the first time, it featured a company that's never been on there before in Flywheel. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had the founder of Flywheel on our show not too long ago. And they were pretty ecstatic about that. And Flywheel has only been around for a couple of years, but they've really made a lot of progress, and customers love them. They know what they're doing when it comes to customer support.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the more kind of prestigious hosting services that there is for WordPress. I have not used them personally, but I know that there are a couple people that I'm friends with that have, and they've got nothing but glowing reviews for it.
So that wraps up May, and let's talk about June, the final month in our first two-part review of 2016. And we started off the month with Syed Balgi, a gesture of goodwill. He donated the WP.org domain to the WordPress Foundation, which is which was huge. You know, that's totally something unexpected, at least for me. I didn't see this coming. But, you know, one of the most, it was pretty annoying if you're on an advanced Facebook, advanced WordPress Facebook page and you typed in wp.org, the link would automatically show the logo and link to, it was redirected to wpbeginner.com, mm-hmm. which is a site owned and operated by Syed Balki. So now at least when people do WordPress.org, it actually links and takes you to WordPress.org. So it was just a good move, a good thing for him to do on his part. And it's nice to know that that particular two-letter domain, man,
no kidding,
is now under the WordPress Foundation. So it's going to be protected.
Yeah, that was super generous of him to do that. He didn't have to, obviously, but you know, it was a good driver for his business in WP Beginner, which is a great resource. However, you know, Saeed's got a heart of gold. We know that, and I give him props for doing that. That was very nice.
And let's see, I talked about how about the issues I encountered and how I fixed them after enabling SSL in the Tavern. We actually, turned SSL on the Tavern and encountered a few issues where a lot of it had to do with mixed content. So certain things were disappearing because they were HTTP instead of HTTPS, mm-hmm. Like YouTube videos, for instance, and widgets, discovered that. So that was a pretty interesting learning experience. And then we also had a discussion on the site about whether WordCamp after parties should be alcohol free. So that's the first time that discussion's come up, at least on the Tavern.
Yeah, that was a short topic. What was it? Like, don't take my booze? What did we call it?
Yeah, don't. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Don't take my booze away from me or something to that effect.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because after parties are kind of where people get a little more loose. And that's often where you learn the most is at that after party. You learn a little bit more about the community and the people, but it's also a great time to kind of engage with other people about what projects they've got going on. And I guarantee that there's been more than one company in the WordPress ecosphere that has launched because of two people having conversations at an after party at a WordCamp somewhere. So if it takes a little lubrication, so to speak, to facilitate that conversation, then I'm all for it.
Social lubrication, right? That's what that's what they call alcohol. There is a critical vulnerability that was patched in the EU or EWWW Image Optimizer plugin. That was big news. Again, Happy Joe, as we mentioned earlier in the year, Happy Joe shifted their focus to medical marijuana education and workshops for veterans. So a completely new take on what James was going for, a completely new direction.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, sort of related, sort of all related to each other with medical marijuana, the post-traumatic stress disorder, veterans, and having to do with pain remediation. So it's kind of all still related together there with Happy Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting to see him take kind of shift his focus to that in a state where it's not legal yet.
Yep. And that prompted me to ask you if WP Tavern should do the same. And we'll just talk about weed all the time, but
he didn't bite. Well, we did feature a dispensary plugin on the site earlier.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we used there was a picture of weed for the featured image. That was that was a highlight. Yeah, that was a highlight during the year. Yep. Jetpack pushed yet another release to patch a couple more security vulnerabilities. WordPress 4.5.3 was released to fix some security issues, and at the end of June, BuddyPress 2.6. was released, which introduced activity embeds and new APIs for navigation and group types. Mm-hmm. And that rounds up some of the headlines of June. And when we do the show again in the new year of 2017, we'll cover July into the rest of the year. And hell, we kind of had to speed up and skip some of the stuff for the first half of the year. You know, and when I go through the Tavern archive, you know, it's like, wow, we wrote about a lot of things. We published a lot of words. And in the back of my mind, I know that there's still a ton of stuff we didn't even cover that we didn't even get a chance to, or that we can't because it's just two people.
Right.
So there's a lot happening. And 2017, looks like it's going to be a very interesting year in many aspects. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about sort of our outlook on 2017 and our predictions in the next episode. Now, Marcus, we had plug-in picks of the week, but we pretty much used up all our time kind of covering the first half of 2016. So we may have to hold on the plug-ins this time.
Oh, that's okay. They'll be there the next time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we might have to do a double show.
Okay. Double dip.
Double dip. Or, well, if we use up all our time for next week's show, we may have to do a whole episode where it's just your plug and picks of the week. Just a whole plug-in episode.
All right. Well, I already have a show like that, so we don't necessarily have to get into it like that. But it's been a crazy year in WordPress, and I can tell you that the first 6 months of the year for me were ups and downs, and mostly a lot of downs, but by the end of the year, it kind of self-corrected itself. As we look back at this retrospective episode and some of the topics and some of the things, it's funny because it's like I forgot half of this stuff. It now moves so fast that even just the smallest thing or even just the biggest thing becomes kind of back of your mind within just a couple weeks because there are so many new things that happen in WordPress. So I want to thank you and obviously Sarah Gooding for all the hard work that you've done throughout 2016. There are some scoops I know that you've gotten. I've tried to give you some little stories here and there when I see them come up. And it's just amazing that there's so much to talk about within just this one platform of software.
Yep. Or in other words, job security for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I think. All right. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JeffrO, Marcus.
And you can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter at MarcusCouch. And hey, I just want to remind you too, follow WP Tavern on Twitter. You won't regret it, because if you want to stay in touch and kind of feeling the pulse of the community, that's where all the stories from the tavern go.
Yes, indeed. And we're also on Facebook. Look us up on Facebook at WP Tavern, where our stuff gets posted there as well.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Owen, please, you still have time. Get a review into us. Review the show. Review the podcast. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear about or hear more about or hear less about in 2017. Give us some insight and we may do a couple of special episodes based on your feedback. So come on, let us know. You have an opportunity there. It's free. It takes up a little bit of your time. I know iTunes can be a pain in the rear. But, go ahead and do it. We'd very much appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So until next week, everybody enjoy your rest of the week. Have a very safe, happy new year. Make sure to call a designated driver if you're going to – or Uber. You know,
yeah.
Uber. You know, make sure you Uber your way around if you plan on having a couple of drinky poos. Marcus and I will talk to you again next week in the new year. Until then, bye-bye.